Vicky shared the story of Sankofa, and Unitarian Universalist Association president, that's kind of how, we don't have bishops or popes, we elect a president out of our association of congregations. Peter Morales talked about the commemoration that's going on in Selma this weekend, and he talked about Selma as a Sankofa moment, from that African proverb that bringing things from the past that are useful into the present is something we should do. But then you look at our reading, Passover, and just think about that. That's what Passover does every year, and that's something perhaps we should do. And then he shared a T-shirt, and that's where Vicky got those lines. He said, I've seen a T-shirt that says, you can pretend to care. You cannot pretend to show up. What would be perfect would be if he'd said on the front, it said, or on the back, it doesn't matter, but you can pretend to care. And on the other side, it says, you cannot pretend to show up. So what's in between the front and the back? You, the person wearing the T-shirt. That's the bridge you have to cross, is that bridge of you between pretending to care and showing up, living in the T-shirt, embodying the T-shirt. That just came to me as I was thinking about that, how perfect that would be to have that T-shirt. Peter Morales said that 50 years ago, Martin Luther King called for Unitarian Universalist ministers to show up in Selma, Alabama, and they did. They showed up. We know the date. We hear the date, and we hear what's happened, but what I want to do is go over some of the events that we're talking about. Because I lose track of the sense of this whole thing. Just to say an event, it's sort of like unpacking Passover. If you had Rabbi Bentley standing up here, he would say, well, here's what really happened. You know, here's what the people were doing. But I was 12 years old in 1964. Many of you were older, some of you were younger, and some of you were not here yet. But in 1964, in November, Martin Luther King actually and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference had actually begun to think about a campaign in Selma, Alabama, where less than 2% of eligible African Americans are registered to vote. What happened in that month, too? Lyndon Johnson was reelected to the presidency. You come forward to January, so just this last January, if you're thinking about it, King launched the Selma campaign with a rally at Brown Chapel. And then Johnson, a few days later, listed voting rights in his State of the Union address as one of his primary objectives. It moves on into February. They've organized rallies in Selma. King and 500 school children are arrested in Selma. 650 African Americans march in nearby Marion. So we've gone from November to January to February. King says there are more Negroes in jail than there are on the voting rolls. You go through February, and on February 18th in Marion, that's when the marchers were attacked at night. When you saw that, they were attacked at night. Jimmie Lee Jackson was shot by a state trooper. He died a week later, and that's when the Southern Conference leadership group announced a protest march to Montgomery at his memorial service. That's where that got started. Move forward 2 weeks, here we are to March 7th. We think about that as the Selma March. That was the first one. That was when they first tried to go from Selma to Montgomery. And that's where the state troopers and the sheriff's posse were on the other side of the bridge with clubs and tear gas, and they stopped the march. The interesting thing about that is what happened on the TV. Did any of you see that when it happened? It actually interrupted a program about Nazi atrocities. Think about what a large role that played and what happened later. Then Martin Luther King called religious leaders to join him in Selma. No email, no Facebook, no Twitter. How did he do it? He did it with a telegram. And on March 8th, the next day, Dr. Homer Jack got his telegram at the headquarters of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and he began calling UU ministers. 40 UU ministers left for Selma that night. That was when it wasn't as easy to get a plane or to get there. They got planes, but buses, cars to go down there. Orloff Miller, James Reeb, and Clark Olson. Clark Olson is a Unitarian Universalist minister in Asheville who's spoken to us before, are among the 40 who leave for Selma that night. They get down there, and on March 9th, so that would be tomorrow, they join 2,000 African Americans for a second march over the Edmund Pettus Bridge. There are 450 religious leaders, 10% of those are Unitarian Universalist. Reeb, Olson, and Miller are attacked outside a restaurant that night. Clark tells the story of their walking on the sidewalk to walk to Brown's Chapel for a rally, and this group of men attacks him and then hits Reeb with a baseball bat, and he dies from his injuries. Martin Luther King says this was not so much the attempt to murder a man as an attempt to murder the hopes and dreams of a people. And then on March 15th, Lyndon Johnson introduces the Voting Rights Bill to a joint session of Congress. That's the same day as James Reeb's memorial service, where King speaks, but Johnson is speaking to Congress. The next day, Viola Gregg Liuzzo, she's a Unitarian Universalist laywoman and housewife, 39 years old, enrolled at Wayne State University, decides to go to Selma after participating in a sympathy march in Detroit. March 21st, that's when the march began, the big march that you hear about. 3,200 marchers left Selma for Montgomery. And then on the 25th, 25,000 marchers joined them. That night, Viola Liuzzo is shot and killed by Ku Klux Klansmen as she drives towards Montgomery to pick up a carload of marchers. She had taken her car so she could transport people back and forth who were in need. It goes on. Three men are indicted for the murder of James Reeb. All are acquitted. The highway trooper is indicted for the murder of Jimmie Lee Jackson. He's acquitted and ends up serving 6 months in jail in 2010. Okay. The men who murdered Viola Liuzzo are acquitted. So we move forward into the passage of the Voting Rights Act and going on. But as you see, we think it was a march across a bridge, and then the Voting Rights Act happened. All is over. What do you notice in those facts? What do you notice in those dates? Anything? 40 Unitarian Universalist ministers. Why? Out of all of that, is there such a response of a group that is 200,000 people across the country? You also notice that it's in the March 8th response, it's drop everything. There's not much time to think about it, get things in order. It's a quick response. It's not easy to travel. You also notice that every one of those men left children at home. They weren't our age where children have left home. They left their children. The same with Viola Liuzzo. She left 5 children in the care of other people so she could be there. The other thing you noticed is that everybody was acquitted who did anything. Draw some analogies to today. How many of you have seen the movie Selma? Who died in the movie Selma? How many people died in the movie Selma? 3, right? Jimmie Lee Jackson, who was a resident and a protester in Marion, and then 2 other people, James Reeb and Viola Liuzzo. And they were both Unitarian Universalists. And I don't mean to say that saying Unitarian Universalists. I mean to say that to ask a question about why. Why was there this big response? Why did it end up with 2 people out of the 3? Viola Liuzzo was the only woman to be killed in the civil rights movement. Only white woman to be killed. When Vicki spoke this morning, she talked about people saying you can believe anything as Unitarian Universalists. And let's don't go Unitarian Universalists. Let's just say if you're thinking about religion in a more progressive way than sort of a closed box set of beliefs, if you're trying to think about it as the way you orient in the world. Well, here's what our theology says. Faith tradition. That is, here's what people who've come before us have said is a good way to live in the world. The Unitarian belief, we focus a little bit on an exalted view of human possibility with religious exemplars, first starting out with Jesus as an exemplar. What does Jesus, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, what is he talking about? Well, in Unitarian Universalist understanding or progressive understanding, it's not something out there. It's how you can feel about being right with life and living right here. And how does he say to do that? Look at the Beatitudes, if you want a biblical place to go. And he says what? You must feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, right? That's how you do it, in the present, in this world. The universalist understanding is of a loving God. There is no hell. There's a cartoon in the New Yorker where the little boy is walking out of the church. It's this month, I think. He's with his parents, and he said, when were you going to tell me about that hell part? It's a loving God, okay? And if it's not God, it's one human family. One human family, one origin, one nature, one destiny. All are loved, not a few. You don't ask questions about whether you're loved or not or good enough to be loved, but all are loved. And the other thing I thought about is that it's family. If you make the shift to really caring in that place, it's not, I should do good things. It's, hey, this is family. I feel it. I've got to do something. And the third piece we say is we are a radically engaged faith, radically incarnational. We have to embody the world we want to see. So if you bring all those together, the third piece of being engaged means that you have to show up. If you want to feel what it's like to be right in life, you have to figure out how to cross your bridges, how to show up into the fullness of love and presence that fits you, not turn around at the bridge into the distractions of entertainment. You can do that. It'll be sort of easy, but you'll never get to the fullness. You'll never get to the freedom. You'll never experience what it's like to be fully alive. That's what Unitarian Universalist theology tells you. So you have to cross that bridge. That's what these people did. They said, I will cross the bridge. I'll embody the t-shirt. They didn't even have t-shirts then. Everybody was wearing white shirts with narrow black ties and black suits, even as they marched in Alabama. Cross that bridge. Peter Morales, the Unitarian Universalist president, says in his piece, he says, everywhere is Selma now. He addresses the particulars, so he's not glossing over those. But he says, where we live is Selma. So where do we need to bear witness? Where do we need to be in order to live fully? Yesterday, President Obama said, we just need to open our eyes and ears and hearts to know that this nation's racial history still casts its long shadow upon us. We know the march is not yet over, the race is not yet won, and that reaching that blessed destination where we are judged by the content of our character requires admitting as much. James Baldwin wrote, we are capable of bearing a great burden once we discover that the burden is reality and arrive where reality is. This is work for all Americans and not just some, not just whites, not just blacks. If we want to honor the courage of those who marched that day, then all of us are called to possess their moral imagination. Moral imagination. All of us will need to feel as they did, the fierce urgency of now. Where is your sense of an urgency of now in your life? Not out there, but inside here. All of us need to recognize, as they did, that change depends on our actions, our attitudes, the things we teach our children. And if we make such effort, no matter how hard it may seem, laws can be passed and consciences can be stirred and consensus can be built, bridges can be crossed. Peter Morales says that today showing up means bearing witness in our own home, our communities, bearing witness to injustice, showing up at City Hall, showing up at schools, showing up at the Sheriff's Department, showing up at work, showing up when asked to be a part of a vigil. Today, he says, Selma is everywhere. Get out there and push and pull until we redeem the soul of America. Take that into your own life. Get in here and push and pull until you redeem the soul of who you are. Show up. Cross the bridge between saying you care and then showing up. Cross that bridge. Which bridge? Climate change, immigration, civil rights, Black Lives Matter, Moral Monday, Dream Scholarship and Scholars, conversations with our sheriff, human trafficking, racism. What is your bridge that you need to cross? Cross that bridge for freedom. You think about that, just hold on to bridge. If the only thing you take from this morning is that, is thinking about the bridge. How do you get to the other side? How do you cross the river? What is a river if you can't get over it and you need to get to the other side? Then you are trapped. What is your bridge to freedom? Between what you care about. And that's where when Catherine said, ain't gonna let daylight savings time turn me around. That's perfect. because we are all living those distractions, those things that turn us around. I do, and I get turned around, but ain't gonna let those things turn me around. I'm gonna keep on marching, keep on walking. Where? To the freedom land, to the freedom land, to the freedom land. Cross that bridge. I encourage you to give it a shot.